Hi, I'm Nicholas Seminario, founder of Dark Angel Company. This podcast is to share the untold stories of just a few of the many people battling mental illnesses in this world. If you're in need of a little inspiration to keep fighting or to feel less alone in your battle, keep listening and share to spread awareness. This is the Dark Angel Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dark Angel Podcast. It is Nick again. And I want to thank you guys for the last few weeks. Please comment and rate the show. Give it 5 stars. It really, really helps us out and gives us the ability to share more amazing stories like the one you're going to hear today. I'm really, really excited to share today's story. You guys have heard a little bit about Rebecca from a year ago, and now we're having her back on, and she's going to be sharing her story over the last year, and she's going to get into what originally happened, but you're going to hear a really, really amazing story, and I can promise you guys that. So if you want to introduce yourself, give us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to, I have a little announcement that I want to get into, and then we're going to get into your story.
Sure. Hi, I'm Rebecca. I'm 23, and I'm a quadriplegic as of 2 years, a little bit over 2 years, and I was in a skiing accident. So March 13th, 2021, I was skiing with some friends in Vermont at a mountain called Stratton. And I have no recollection of the day itself, but I was told I fell, woke up in a hospital in New Hampshire called Dartmouth Hitchcock, and was basically told I was paralyzed from the neck down and not able to breathe on my own. So since then, my life changed forever, and I was in rehab for a total of 9 months, and I learned how to eat again, how to talk again, and how to operate a wheelchair using just my mouth and a straw, and I've done a lot of things since then. And I was on the podcast about a year ago telling my story, and now I'm glad to share some updates with you guys on my life.
Yeah, I mean, it really is amazing. And I've said this to you, I've said this to a countless number of people. Your story is absolutely amazing. And, you know, everybody in your life should be proud of you. It's quite amazing what you've been able to accomplish and how much passion and drive you have about everything. And, you know, I really, really do give you a lot of credit. Before we do get into the episode, though, I want to make a little announcement. Rebecca's having a walk on May 27th, correct? Yeah. May 27th, and it's at Plainview High School or Plainview Middle School?
Plainview Middle School.
Okay, so May 27th, Plainview Middle School, Rebecca's having her annual walk. This is the second walk. So if you guys could go out, show some support, it really, really means a lot to Rebecca, her family, me, everybody who's involved. It's really, really important that we do this for her, for everybody who's gone through something like this. And is there anything you want to mention about it? You know, just any further details?
Yeah, so it's a walk, one, run, roll. So anybody's welcome to participate. It's at, I believe, 8 a.m. There's more details on my Instagram page. And it was a lot of fun last year. And it's going to be just as fun this year, so.
Definitely. And I'm really looking forward to it. So we would really, really appreciate it if any of you guys could show up and come out, because it's really important to all of us. So without further ado, I want to get into your story. You know, so share a little bit more about what happened for those who didn't listen to the original episode. And if you guys haven't listened to the episode and you're listening now, I urge you to go back and listen to that first episode so you could kind of understand what originally happened that whole first year of what everything was like. But before we get in, you know, before, just give us a little kind of synopsis of what happened and how that year was, you know, from last year.
So like updates since I was last on here?
Yeah. You could even give us kind of when you were last on here, kind of what happened then.
So I was in rehab for 9 months. I like to call my gestation period. I was birthed from the hospital. And once I came home, I ended up going to an assisted living nearby because my house was doing construction, because obviously I can't get up 17 steps anymore. And that's what my house has. So I ended up staying in a nursing home. They were very friendly there. They were, the old people adored me. I was a celebrity. And then I was only there about a month, and then I came home and my house was renovated, but we weren't the ones who did the renovations. We were actually selected to be on a TV show called George to the Rescue. So what they do is they redo people's homes that maybe have like been through something traumatic or do something very positive for the community. So we were lucky enough to be on that show. So it was on NBC, and it was finished in about January. So we've been living home for a year and 5 months or so. And we're just so lucky because they did such a nice job. I have an elevator, I have a ramp, I have an art room. I have my own living space with TV and voice operated everything. So I'm really lucky to be living in this place. Since then we came home, and it was definitely a struggle, like adjusting from the hospital life. But I do have nurses at my house that take care of me, and I hang out with my friends a lot. I paint with my mouth, and I've just been trying to do my best, just like we all are, I guess.
Yep, definitely. So now I really want to get into this last year, right? So we had you on a year ago. You shared with us this whole journey. You know, it was obviously very new to you, right? This is something you've never experienced, and it was out of the blue. So we kind of understood, and we kind of were able to see what it was like through your eyes, you know, with the way you were telling us the last time. Now I want to get into since then, right? So after that point, you've obviously figured a lot more stuff out, right? I see, like you said, you're painting now. You're doing so many more things where you weren't doing that the last time we met. So get into this whole last year, the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that's happened, everything that, you know, had some significance to you.
Sure. So there's definitely been consistencies from the last time we spoke, but also I've done a lot of new things. So for example, like I was painting the last time we spoke, but I wasn't doing it to the extent that I do now. I finally set up an online store. I've started an Instagram page for it. I promote it more on my TikTok. So that, there's that. I've also been still creating my TikToks, but trying to get brands involved, building my following even more. So there's consistencies like that. But there's also new developments, such as I did get a part-time job, which I'm really, really happy about, because it just feels so great to feel purposeful and productive, and also just be relatable to my friends in the sense that they all have jobs. They can complain about their boss. My boss is great. I'll never complain about him. But like, I know what it's like to have to, you know, write an email and have to lingo in a certain way so that you can send it out. Like, I just like being similar to my friends in that sense, because I'm so different now from everybody else in my needs and my day-to-day life. So I have a job, and not to get too into it, but I was pre-med when I was in college, and it is a medically related job where I look at medical videos and scripts and edit them. So I really enjoy that because it's still something I was interested in before my accident, and I get to learn about new things now. So I enjoy it, and the people I work with are great. So that's probably one of the biggest developments over the past years, being able to do that. And it's about 10 hours a week.
That's really, really awesome. And, you know, for you to be able to look at it like that and really say, like you said, like you are just like us. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing different. And I think that's so important for you to be able to realize that, you know. And I think it's awesome that you're doing something you love. You're able to work. And what kind of work are you doing? That's actually really cool.
So they make videos on every medical topic. It's a website. It's called Doctorpedia, like Doctor Encyclopedia. And basically, I look at the video scripts, make sure they're understandable to non-medical people. I will title them. I do a bunch of other things. I've created video scripts. I sometimes create sidebars and help with post-production. So it keeps me busy, and kept me sane this winter, that's for sure.
And that's so cool. So you're pretty much like a marketer then, right? So it's like along the lines of that, and you're still doing stuff with med stuff, right?
Right, yeah.
That's so cool. And I mean, for those of you guys who haven't seen, you do have a really awesome TikTok. So, you know, you're clearly good at writing these scripts and everything like that because they are hilarious. You could plug your TikTok because I would love for everybody to go check it out right now because they are some of the funniest videos I have ever seen. They bring joy to my day. Every time they pop up on my For You page or whatever it is, they are absolutely hilarious. And then I want to kind of get into your inspiration for everything because I think you have a really unique and creative sense of humor where I don't think many people would have that same sense of humor. You know what I'm saying? I think you have a really amazing outlook on everything. And I think your comedy to kind of add to that is just amazing.
Thanks. Yeah, I actually recently changed my TikTok name to, it used to be just my name, but I changed it to Not Paralyzed, Just Lazy because I feel like it suits me more. You could sort of tell like my situation, my personality, because I feel like I'm quite the opposite. I'm not lazy at all. I try to do a lot. And I am paralyzed, so I just decided to change it on a whim. But yeah, I definitely think making those TikToks is one of the best things that's happened to me. And it's one of my favorite things because I just love making people laugh. And also, I feel like if I could joke about it, then people won't feel so uncomfortable around me sometimes. Like they have to walk on eggshells, like they don't want to say the wrong thing. I'm not a person that's easily offended. So I feel like if I could joke, like, yeah, I wear a diaper because I can't control, you know, how I go to the bathroom. Like, that's, my friends won't feel weird, like, asking me something like that. Or other people, like, maybe not strangers, but just, like, it's nice to be able to joke about certain things. It also helps me to sort of cope by using dark humor, like, making a joke about something. I also like doing days in the life because people can see that, like, yeah, I do things that are pretty similar to you. My morning might be a little different because somebody else has to take care of me, but I do go out to eat. I like to go to restaurants. I go to the bookstore or a bakery or the movies and talk to my parents and have dinner with them. And yes, we fight. And yes, we have good moments too. It's just like, I am similar to people in a lot of ways because I was just like you 2 years ago.
Exactly. And, you know, that's something special that you just said too. It's like, I love how you look at things. Like I really, really do. It's, and I'm going to be honest, I don't think I'd be able to look at things similar. You know, I think it takes such a strong person to look at things like that. Like, I think you really have an amazing outlook and, you know, like you said, like you're just here to have fun, right? You're going to live your life. You're here for comedy. You're here for your TikToks. You're here. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have a job, you are important. And it's so important for people to realize that. Like, I think also from an outside perspective, I think we all see that, you know, but sometimes I guess in your position, it's hard to sometimes see that, right? Is that something you ever struggle with?
Yeah, definitely. Like I have my days where I feel miserable and I just feel so upset and I feel like I'm in such a bad place. But then there's days where I feel really happy and I'm like, well, I survived this like crazy accident, then I'm not going to just waste my life away because like I survived. So I'm going to make something of it. Like there weren't 50 people trying to save my life for no reason, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like I'm going to do something with myself. And so that's how I feel in like the good days. But obviously I have my bad days too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, how do you kind of counteract those bad days? What are those bad days like and what are you doing on them or what are you doing to kind of better those bad days?
I guess it depends on the situation. I like to talk to my parents. They usually help me through a lot of things and often we're going through the same thing. So if I'm upset about something, they might be upset about the same thing. So I talk to them. I like to talk to my dad. He's like a really good person to talk to. He always says, and if he wasn't a lawyer, he'd be a psychologist. So I do like talking to him. I sometimes will talk to one of my close friends about it. I'll just try to watch TV, take my mind off it, try to read. I do enjoy reading a lot. So I try to do things like that. I also like to think about how things could have been a lot worse. Like I really could have been dead, or I could have had this house that wasn't renovated by professional, like by television production company putting it all together. Like I am lucky in certain ways. So I try to think about that.
Definitely. And I think that's yet again, a great outlook, you know, because like you said, we have things and I think we all take things for granted. Like you said, you're alive, you know, and you're healthy and you're able to do things that make you happy. Like that's so important. And we should all be appreciative and happy, you know, that we do have things in life and realize, like you said, like there were 50 people trying to save you. There, you know, the accident could have been worse. And you're right. You know, it's like, it's so important to look at it like that because it didn't matter, right? It is important. You are important. So, you know, for those of you out there who are listening to this also, who are going through things, it's like, sometimes we really need to think about the things that we do have, you know, instead of looking at the things that we don't. I want you to get into a day in your life, you know, so I know you said you like doing TikToks like that. Get into what a day for you is like, you know, just give us your daily routine.
Sure. So I wake up and around 8 o'clock and my nurse helps me get ready, get changed. You know, I do what everyone else does, brush my teeth, wash my face, blah, blah, blah. I like to listen to an audiobook while I'm doing these things. And then I get in my chair through a lift, like a Hoyer lift. So it's something they use in hospitals mostly, but that's how you get people who can't move into chairs. So that's what I used to get in my chair. And then I'll usually work for like a couple hours, try to do like 2-3 hours a day. Sometimes I'll have a friend come over in the afternoon, depending on like if someone's available. And I have some friends that don't work right now, or they don't work certain days of the week, or there's some middle-aged women I like to hang out with because they're always fun to talk to. So some of them are retired or on disability, so I talk to those people. If I'm not hanging out with somebody, I might paint a little bit. And if I'm not feeling like painting, or maybe I did paint, then I'm over it. I'll go to a coffee shop and I'll read, get a cup of coffee. If it's nice out, go to a park, listen to a book, listen to music, go to the beach on the boardwalk if it's nice. So that would be like a typical weekday. That night, then I'll just have dinner with my parents and watch TV. Then weekends are more fun. I'm usually gone the entire day. I go out to lunch, go to a park, go somewhere, maybe a bakery, something. There's a few friends I can actually get in their house, go to their house, hang out with friends that live in the city. Sometimes I'll go into the city. Then I have dinner like everybody else, watch TV like everybody else. So that's like a typical day. The days I go into the city are always really fun though, because I feel like I had a lot of friends on Long Island at one point. Then they all made this like mass exodus to the city to start working and living there. And so obviously no one wants to feel like left out, but I also just want to see them and be able to like be in their territory and like be in the city. And it's fun to get out of Long Island. So I like hanging out with them, going into the city and like seeing them more frequently.
Yeah, that's awesome. I give you credit for that. I'm not a big fan of the city. It's too crowded for me. But so that's something you enjoy, obviously, which is awesome. Now, what do you have planned for like your future career? Do you have any like career goals that you have? I know you said you wanted to start kind of getting like sponsors and stuff like that. Would you want to be like a full-time influencer or something like that? Like, is that something you have in mind, or is it just, you know, something more like a 9-to-5? Like what, or, you know, like what do you have in mind for your future?
I feel like being an influencer would be great. Seems, I guess, more fun than having like a 9-to-5, but I feel like it's not necessarily feasible right now. I don't think I have a big enough following to like make a living off of it. But also right now, I don't have any expenses. I live at home and I go out to eat, and that's really it. Like that's my only expense. So I'm not like too concerned about getting a full-time career now, but I took a course in digital marketing, thought it was really interesting. So I thought maybe something like that, like website design or like search engine optimization, just running social media. That's interesting to me. So maybe I'll try something like that, but I'm very content with like the little job I have now. And I feel like maybe if I asked to get into the more marketing side of the company, they would probably welcome me. So that's something I thought about down the line, but it would be nice to be able to make a living off posting on Instagram and stuff. But I am trying. So yeah.
Well, I mean, I think last year when we did this, I don't remember how many followers you had. I think it was maybe a few, like 10,000, something like that, right?
Yeah, it depends on the month. Because there was one video that gained me like 30,000 followers. So
Wow.
So there's only before that video and after that video.
Okay. So I think it was before that video because I feel like I remember when the video blew up. You got a few million views on it, right? Something crazy.
16 million.
Yeah. Oh, that's more than a few. Yeah. That's crazy. So yeah, I believe we recorded this before that. And then, you know, so even since then though, you have 60,000 now, right? You said?
Yeah, so I've had like a lot more viral videos.
Yeah.
Since then, and so, more followers.
Just wait. I think it's feasible. I think you could do it, especially if you have some knowledge in marketing, and I think you could definitely do it. Definitely. Yeah. That would be cool. That would be really cool.
I would love that.
So on top of that too, your TikToks, like I said before, are hilarious. Where do you come up with your ideas? You know, like you said, it's a lot of dark humor. Where are you coming up with these ideas? It's something that's just popping up in your head. Like, where is all this coming from?
So I scroll through looking for like sounds sometimes to make a like a funny TikTok too. But then a lot of it's just like literally just pops into my head. So like the other day I was thinking, what was it? There's this girl on TikTok. And she makes like these videos about food. And she always like starts her videos like, have you ever done this? And I just reply, like did a stitch with it. I was like, no, I'm paralyzed. Like, have you ever cracked your egg like this? Like, no, I can't move my arms.
Yeah.
So like, sometimes I'll just like make stupid ones like that.
Okay. And it really is so funny. Like, I kid you, I'm not just saying this. Like, I open my phone and when they pop up, I laugh. Like, I'm laughing out loud. I'm like, you're so creative. It's so funny. Like, you just, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Thank you. Like I said before, I'd love to make people laugh. I feel like it sort of helps me because when, like, my friends are able to go do a lot of fun things with each other and, like, make good memories and, like, laugh about, like, oh, remember this happened at the bar or, like, this guy on the plane or this hike. But, like, things I do with my friends are very repetitive because there's not a lot I could do. But if I can like make them laugh, like that's the best thing. Because then we can like laugh together.
Yeah, and I guarantee you they're laughing. I guarantee it. What are some things that people do around you that you dislike? What are some things that maybe upset you or anger you that people do, maybe without realizing or with realizing?
That's a good question. I feel like I really don't like when people try to speak for me because they assume I'm not able to like voice my opinion, or if I'm at the doctor and they're talking to my nurse about me, it's like I'm sitting right here and you know I'm cognitively capable of listening to you because you're my doctor.
And you're very smart also. I don't know if you guys can tell. You're very well spoken. Like you said, you were going to be a doctor. Or you were on the med track. So yeah. You're smart. You're very smart. So, sorry, continue.
Thank you. Yeah, so it bothers me when people assume that I can't say things for myself. Or they'll talk to the person next to me like, oh, does the insurance cover that? Like the eye doctor asks like, oh, does the insurance cover that? Why would my nurse who, you know, why would she know? Like yeah. It's my insurance. That doesn't involve her. So that definitely bothers me. I would say when I'm in public and people give me these like puppy dog eyes, like, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine. You don't have to treat me like I'm this delicate little baby where if you drop me the wrong way, I'm going to, like, break. Like, you could talk to me like a normal person. I just don't like people do that. Then people sometimes, like, don't know how to act around me, so it's no, like, blame on them. It's just, I dislike it. There's a lot of people who in public will just come up to me and say, like, oh, I'm such an inspiration. Then that's fine. I get that a lot. I made a funny TikTok about it, how, like, these women are always coming up to me in the grocery store. It's always the grocery store, like, for some reason. They always, whatever. But, yeah, I just, that, I guess, doesn't bother me as much as, like, the puppy dog guys drive me crazy. Drives my brother crazy. He hates when people look at him like that. Yeah. So, those are definitely top annoying things.
Yeah, I get that, too. You know, it's like you said, you're no different. You know, so it's like, we shouldn't treat people differently. We shouldn't look at people differently. You know, it's just like right now we're having a normal conversation. You know, it's like, so I would be annoyed too if, you know, it's like I said, you're being talked about or whatever. I completely understand that. Now, are there people who are close to you that do things like that also, you know, or is it more kind of just strangers?
I would say it's definitely strangers. But sometimes it could be like friends of parents or parents of friends, people that are like more in the peripheral that don't see me day to day. Then they definitely want to show that they care, which is very nice. But sometimes they don't necessarily know how to like word it or whatever, which no blame to them again. Like, I don't think I would know how to talk to someone, a quadriplegic. Like, I would get nervous. I don't want to offend anybody. But like I said, I'm not easily offended. But people don't necessarily know that right away.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I think that's, I guess, something, right, you kind of just then ignore, right? It's not like you really can do anything about it, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Now, I want to also ask you, is there something, you know, I know you said you don't really remember the accident. So, right, you said you don't remember up to, like, 8 hours before or 6 hours before?
So I think I remember getting picked up in the morning for it at like 6 a.m. maybe. And that's because I saw a photo of the sunrise on my phone of that day. But I was like, I think I remember taking that photo. But after that, I don't remember anything. And then I just remember waking up a few days later in the hospital.
So I want you to kind of go over that whole scenario again. Because I have a few questions about that. So go over kind of that whole story, you know, from you waking up, taking that picture until, you know, what you remember then waking up again.
So the plan was to meet my brother at the mountain with his friends while I drive up with my friends, two of my friends, and then another friend was meeting us. So they picked me up. I took that nice sunrise photo. I assume we drove. Everything else, I'm just filling in from what I've been told. We drove to the mountain. It might have been one of the first runs of the day. It was very icy. It was bad conditions. And we split at the top of the mountain. And I went a separate way. They were waiting for me at the bottom and I didn't show. So I think they tracked my phone. And they found that I was at the base of the mountain. Which was the medical tent, but they wasn't answering them. They tracked me, found out I was at the base. And then the company called my friend because I bought my ticket through him. So they had his phone number. So they called him and were like, this is where your friend is. So my brother went with my friends. He was the only one allowed to see me. He saw me. He said my neck was so swollen. It was like the width of my head. It was like, he's like, I knew you broke your neck. And I was unconscious. They whisked me into the helicopter very quickly. They told him, she'll be at this hospital. And I was gone. Like, he said it happened like so fast.
And you hit into a tree, right? Or you don't know
I'm not really sure. My guess is that I went off the side of the slope where it's like very rocky and there's trees. It's like a cliff pretty much. I think I went off the side. Must have hit my head. Because where I broke my neck is at the base of the skull. It's the highest point in the spinal cord. So don't know how I don't have a head injury. I guess because I wear a helmet when I ski. So I don't know. But they basically told my brother, she'll be here and then you can come. And like, we're not sure if she's going to make it. That's pretty much it. And then got to the hospital. My brother drove to the hospital with everyone. And they basically were like, the rules were very strict because it was COVID. So they basically said, like, you can go see her pretty much in a way that was like, say goodbye type of sense. Because they didn't think I was going to survive. And then somehow I did. They had to revive me so many times. I flatlined. They had to bring me back, CPR and AED so many times. And then I somehow survived. And then they put in a feeding tube and a trach. They fusioned my spine to my skull. So, because it was broken. And put me on a vent. And I just remember waking up and asking my brother what happened. He said, we were skiing and you fell. But I was like, we didn't go on that trip yet. Because in my head, I thought the trip didn't happen yet. Because I don't remember any of this. My head, it was still like a few days earlier. So I don't remember leaving. I didn't remember leaving for the trip. I don't even remember planning the trip, which is weird because the planning part was like weeks in the making.
Really?
So I don't even remember booking an Airbnb. I was like, do we have an Airbnb? Like, I don't even know. So, yeah, he's like, you fell. And I was like, but that trip didn't happen yet. He's like, it just happened. So I was like, oh. And then I thought my life was over, but here we are.
Which is amazing. But wow. Like, see, I, you know, obviously I remember the accident and all that stuff, but I don't think you shared that last time. I don't think you shared that part where, you know, you didn't even know that you didn't book the trip. And that's crazy.
Yeah, it blows my mind. So if I really think about it, I'm like, this happened to me.
Yeah.
Like ordinary me. Like,
yeah. Do you ever get that like dissociation now, like from that? Like, is that ever like, you know, even I'm someone who sometimes disassociates where I'm like, is this all real? You know, it's like you ask yourself those questions. So it's like, do you ever feel that? Do you ever, you know, experience that?
Yeah, actually sometimes. The guy like almost like take a step back, metaphorically, of course. No steps for me. But I'll take a step back and be like, this is really tragic. Like, this is crazy. Like, sometimes I forget about it because I'm like just so used to it that I don't realize like how life altering it is and like how crazy it is. But like, there could be a night where I'm like laying in bed because I'm watching TV, which is something I would be doing regardless of my accident at 10 p.m. Then I look across and I see my power chair. I'm like, wow, like that's mine. Like, that's how I get around. Like, that's crazy. Then I really think about it, I'm like, yeah, it is pretty crazy. Like my house was redone on TV and I have this chair and I paint with my mouth. Like, I watched a video of me painting the other day because I've been starting to record it more and more for my TikTok. I'm like, that's so crazy because in my head, I'm just like, so normal. But then when I see it, I'm like, that's so crazy. I'm painting these mountains with my mouth. Like, that's so weird to look at.
Yeah. So how does that make you feel? Right. Cause it's like you said, you're sitting and watching TV and you're like, is this me? Is this real? How does that make you feel? You know, when you're kind of looking back and you're retrospecting or introspecting, how does that make you feel?
It sort of makes me feel like really proud of myself for like how much I've accomplished. I feel like a lot of people wouldn't be able to do as much. And I know some other quadriplegics that do sort of just stay home all day, play video games, or they don't really do much with their life. And like, I want to almost like shake them by the shoulders and be like, you're alive. Like, go live your life. It's not over. So I'm really proud of myself for saying that. But I'm also very grateful for like the resources I have, like my parents and family and friends that are very close by. Plus we have like fundraising money available to me to spend on medical expenses and other important things. And just like in general, I do have like a more privileged background than most people, where I'm able to like afford certain luxuries even without the money from the fundraising.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, yet again, like, that's just such a great way to look at things. Like you said, like, you know, you do want to almost just shake them and kind of wake them up and be like, look at all the stuff I'm doing. You know, you have a job.
Yeah.
You're able to paint. You have your own business. You're able to make TikToks. You have so many things. You do so many things. You do more things than I do. You know, so it's like, you need to appreciate that, you know, and I don't mean you specifically. I mean people, right? Like, we need to appreciate that as a whole. Like you said, sometimes we need somebody to shake us and wake us up. Hopefully this is going to shake you and wake you up, because, mm-hmm. you know, you should be going out there and living your life to the fullest. From the accident, you know, and I guess it'd be more from stories because you don't remember it, but what is the scariest thing to you? What part of it is so frightening or so just like chilling to you that really scares you?
Just like the trauma that happened to my body in general. I think I'm very much a person that takes care of my body. I ate clean. I went to the gym. I just like tried to avoid processed foods, like things like that. And I'm like, wow, I really put my body through a lot, like breaking my neck and then needing a feeding tube and then going on a vent. And like, that just like is crazy, like that all these procedures had to happen to me, like, and I was in perfect health too. Like, it's just scary that, and like that much force was like put upon the back of my neck to break my vertebrae and damage the spinal cord, and the fact that like I had no pulse for 10 minutes, like that's wild, and so that's sort of freaky to think about.
Yeah, definitely. So how did you have no, like, you had no brain damage or anything, right? Like you said, like...
No, so miraculously, I have no brain damage. And it could have been because that it was so cold that, like, somehow it was, my body systems were slowed and the brain wasn't damaged. I don't know, but I do know that my memory's been significantly impaired. Like, yeah, I forgot. Like, I don't remember those days specifically, but my short-term memory is not so good. Like, it used to be fantastic. That's how I was able to get good grades in chemistry and organic chemistry. My memory was incredible. You tell me something, I will like remember it. Then I'll ask you about it 6 years later and you'll say, I don't even remember telling you that. But now it's like I'll repeat myself, repeat stories, ask the same questions, not remember certain details about people. I feel bad, like, I am listening to you. It's like, I don't remember. Like, I don't remember if you went on your fifth date with this guy, or I don't remember where this person went to college, or there's a lot of like little details that slip my mind now, which like is sort of upsetting because I was always really like, I loved having such a good memory. And like, I know now I wouldn't necessarily be able to like succeed in like a class that I took in college, like organic chemistry. Like, there's no way I'd be able to memorize all that stuff, especially not being able to write things down. But just in general, like, my memory's just not as good as it used to be. But like, I'll take it if that's all the damage that's to my brain. Like, could have been so much worse. So,
yeah, definitely. And do you remember things prior to it, like, very, very good? Or is it like only events after that you don't remember as well?
It was a little fuzzy that week leading up to the accident, but then things started to slowly come back and I remembered that as people would fill me in. So ironically, I had a very busy week socially. Like, I had plans every night. And I remember thinking like, wow, I'm really busy this week. And it's almost in a way like my body was like, or myself was allowing me to like have that, those fun memories before I wouldn't be able to be back at college anymore. So I went out to Applebee's, I remember, with some friends, and like, we stole a cup and we got like lava cakes and margaritas. And then I also played volleyball with some friends at a park because it was a nice day out. And what else? That week I went out to lunch with a friend. I went to like this cute speakeasy also that was in Binghamton. I had a lot of plans, and it was, I guess it was me of my way of saying goodbye.
Yeah, wow. So, I mean, I'm going to imagine, like, you never obviously thought this was going to happen, right? Like, obviously, this was never even a thought. So, what would you say to yourself 3 years ago when it happened, or I guess prior to it happening? What would you say to yourself?
If I could go back and tell myself something, I guess I would tell myself not to worry so much about little things. Like, I worried a lot about what people thought about me. I worried a lot about just like little details, like maybe what I ate or like an interaction I had with somebody. And it's like the grand scheme of things, none of that matters. Like, it's not even going to matter like a week from now. And it's like, then when you go through something where one little moment defines the rest of your life, makes you realize like little details don't matter. Now, if I have like a shitty interaction with someone in public, I'm like, I don't care, because that person's going to forget about it by tomorrow, and I'm going to forget about it in 20 minutes. So like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. And that's very true. So yeah, so you just say to yourself, kind of don't care as much.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something I try to tell my friends now too, when they get worried about like little things. And I do want them to tell me their problems. Like, I don't want them to ever feel like, oh, my problems will never compare to your problems, because they're still valid. Everything's relative. Like, what you're going through is significant in your life right now. So I do like when they tell me things, but I am able to give them this perspective of like, it's really not that big of a deal. It's not that deep. Like, your boss didn't like one little thing. Like, even if he fired you, like, in 6 months from now, you'd have a new job. In a year from now, you wouldn't even remember. You'll never think about it. So I try to give them that perspective without sounding too like, oh, I know everything because I almost died.
Yeah, and it's really crazy to think about. And yeah, like you said, like, you know, you're not minimizing their problems, but yeah, sometimes you do have to step back, and sometimes you need that, like, look, it's not that big of a deal on the grand scheme of things, like you said, right? Like, if you got fired or if whatever it is, you broke up with somebody, like, yeah, it might be annoying or hurt in that moment, but yeah, you know, in the grand scheme of things, you're going to realize, like, it made you who you are. You know, it made you a better person.
And in a way, I looked at it as, like, it's a privilege to go through that, because I can't, like, before I had a job, now I have a job, it's different. The guy would relish getting fired. That means that I had a job. Or breaking up with someone, because that means I could sustain a real relationship. Like, it's not to say I can't have a relationship with someone romantically, but it's just something that's so not on my radar right now. So I, in a way, I'm like, you're privileged to go through those things. Like, you have a stomach ache? I can't feel my stomach. Like, I would love to have a stomach ache.
Yeah,
just
right.
Give me some ice cream. Like, come on.
So, you know, yeah, like, even like something like that, like relationships, how do you feel about that? Do you plan on getting married? Do you plan on, you know, having a future with somebody? Like, what's your stance and outlook on that?
I think it's just something that I don't really think about much, because right now, I don't see how that would fit into my life. Like, I don't know how I'd have a relationship with somebody, because can't move anything. So it'd be more of like a companionship, which I guess could be nice if there's someone out there looking for like the same thing, like just a companion, like nothing really physical going on. But I don't see how it would work, because I just, like, I feel like I'm so much work. Like, there's so much care involved in my life. Like, I have so many things, so many supplies, so many steps, so many like medications. Like, it's just, there's so much that, like, getting married to someone, it's like, I don't want to put that all on them. Like, do they have to then take care of all that? Like, I don't know. So I don't really, it's not on my radar.
Yeah. And, you know, I get where you're coming from, but I think there's somebody out there for everyone. And I don't think, you know, that, of course, there's people out there who are terrible people and they would look at it as, oh, it's too much. But Trust me, I know there's people out there who that wouldn't be work to them at all. You know, if you love somebody or if you're a companion to somebody, that stuff doesn't matter, right? You're going to do things for people no matter what. And they wouldn't look at it as, like I said, a job or work, you know, if it's somebody that loves you and you love them, you know. So obviously, like you said, you have a lot going on right now. And I was just kind of curious to see how you felt about it. And I do think it's definitely very possible. I don't think that you'd have to worry about, you know, finding that person and having them feel like it's a lot. You know what I'm saying? So I think you would be more than okay in that aspect. And I think, obviously, when the time's right, you know, it's...
Yeah. And I do know someone with the same injury as me that had a boyfriend. So, like, it is definitely possible. I like to read about romance and watch rom-coms and stuff. Like, it would be nice to be able to experience something myself, but I think it's just something more down the road, I guess.
You should make a movie. You ever think about that? Making like a rom-com movie about that?
Like writing it?
Yeah, kind of about your life. Like, I think that would be pretty interesting.
Yeah writing like a, or like writing a romance book. Because I love reading the like romance books.
You should. Why not? Give it a try, right? Can't hurt. Yeah. It'd be fun. Now, I noticed a few minutes ago, too, you said that you would tell yourself 3 years ago to kind of not care as much. Now, would you go back and change anything?
I don't think so. I really lived my life super fully. Like, my friends would always say, like, you do so much in a day. Like, and I did. I would do so much, and I've done so many. I've traveled. I've made great friends. I have great family. So I feel like I wouldn't really change anything in my life, I don't think. I mean, looking back, I'm like, being pre-med, like, that's sort of crazy because of the lifestyle. It's not something I would want. So, like, oh, I wish I didn't study so long for the MCAT because it was such a time suck. Like, I worried so much about it. But at the same time, I was studying during COVID, so it kept me sane in a way. So, like, that wasn't even so bad. But then if I didn't take those pre-med classes, I wouldn't have made my pre-med friends who I've, like, value so much. And we still hang out a lot. So without them, like, I'd not lost, but, like, I wouldn't have as good of, like, a college experience. So I think all those things were in my life for a reason, so I don't think I'd change anything.
That's really amazing. And I think, too, you know, like, you're an advocate, too, for people, right? Like, you're, like I said, you're doing all these things, and where you could easily kind of just sit there and accept it, right? You could easily be doing nothing, be doing the exact same thing every day, and being miserable, you know, kind of pitying yourself, poor me, and you do not have that outlook at all, not even in the slightest bit. You know, you're out there doing things, you're out there making a difference. Like I said, you have your own business, you have a huge following, like, you're doing things, you know. So it's like, for you to have that outlook and for you to be able to say, like, no, I wouldn't change a thing. I was meant to be here to do this. I'm doing what I was meant to be. I'm helping people. I'm changing people's lives. And, you know, that's that. Like, it's so important that you're doing that, you know, and, like, you're a beacon of hope for people. Do you know that? Do you feel like that?
I guess, because people tell it to me so much, but I guess it's hard for me to see it myself as, like, being, like, a source of hope, but I definitely do think I inspire people. I mean, they tell me I do, so I would think, but people have said to me, like, you've saved my life because I was, like, I'm more cautious when I do certain things. But it's not just that. People say, like, you make me want to go out and, like, do more things because you're doing so much. Or, like, I think about my problems, but then, like, think about the way you persevered, and I think, you know, I can get through this. Because she got through it, so.
Yeah, and it's very, very true. You know, I think a lot of people can really benefit from your whole brand, your whole outlook, everything like that, because it really is just, it's the meaning of an inspiration. You know, it's like you're, you know, and I know you probably hear it all the time, like you said, but it really is. It's really inspiring. And it really, you know, it changes people. It really does. It makes people say, like, you know, like, I can do anything I put my mind to, you know, and I think that's really the truth. Like, seriously, like, did you think you would be doing all these things 3 years ago?
No. Well, 3 years ago, I thought I was going to be a doctor, so probably wouldn't be doing anything besides studying, honestly. So, but definitely in the hospital, I thought, like, life's over. Like, it's that's it. But no, it's not so bad some days.
So even like sitting in that hospital bed, what would you have told yourself too? You know, like, it's like you said, you thought your life was over. So being in that position, sitting in that chair, what was that like?
I think I just would have told myself it will get better. Like, it's not, life's not over. It will get better. And like, you will have a life. Like, I didn't feel like a person. When you're in the hospital like that, you don't feel like a person. Like, people are in and out of your room. You're constantly being like monitored and blood work, and you just feel like I'm not, I wasn't even sick. Like, it's just, you don't feel like a human being because you're locked up in this building, especially because of COVID. I wasn't allowed to leave the hospital. So that was even, made things even worse. Then people are just visiting me. Like, didn't feel like anybody's equal. Just felt like a source of pity from everyone. But then when I leave and you can actually go out in the community, it changes things.
Yeah. Which is, that's, I did not know that. So I forgot it was during COVID. So that makes it even a whole different.
It was actually crazy because the weekend that of my accident, they allowed one visitor. They allowed none for like a year. And then that weekend they started allowing one visitor. So my brother was able to see me one person at a time. So like my grandma came, my aunt came, my dad, my mom, my brother. So like they rotated to the hospital. And then eventually like things loosened up. So it went from one to two people, from this many hours to like a couple more hours. So, and then when I left the hospital, 9 months later, when I left the final hospital I was at, they stopped allowing visitors for like a month because of Omicron, that one, like that little stint of it. So I was like, wow, I was literally like flanked by two periods of no visitors, but I was always allowed to have visitors, which kept me pretty much sane having people come in and see me.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine that. I mean, after going through what you went through and then now you're not able to see anybody, that's crazy.
Then when you're on a ventilator, you can't talk, like the ventilator I was on. So it's not like I could just FaceTime a friend. Like, no, I sat there, then I watched television for hours and hours. I didn't even listen to music because it made me too sad. So like, that was super, I hated watching TV for that many hours. Like, it made me feel just like gross.
Yeah. Wow. That's crazy. I did not know that. That is pretty crazy. Now, I want you to get into this last year. What, from what you remember, what was your favorite moment of this last year? And then what was your least favorite moment? Why don't we do least favorite first and then favorite?
Least favorite moment. Oh, I got to think about it for a sec.
If you have your favorite moment, you could do that first if you want.
Yeah, I would say my favorite moment was going to a One Republic concert, sitting front row, having the lead singer point to me a couple times. That was really fun because I really like their music, and it was just such like a fun summer night. It was perfect weather, so that was great. I would say least favorite, there's been like a few nights where I'm just like up all night, can't sleep, really anxious, like feel like I'm on the verge of a panic attack, but like lasted the entire night. So that sucked. And then in my head, I'm like, well, the whole day's ruined now because I'm exhausted. So it's like, not only the nighttime sucks, but it's like daytime comes and I'm tired, grumpy. I don't feel like myself. So that's probably like one of the lows was like one of those nights. Because also when I can't sleep, it's not like I could just sit up and scroll my phone, pull out a book. Like I'm really just laying there unless I call in my aide to like, you know, put my head up so I can watch TV or something. So yeah, like those sleepless nights are terrible.
So that must have an effect on your mental health too. It's got to, right? I remember last time we met, you were in therapy. Are you still in therapy?
Yeah.
Okay. So how's that all going? How is your mental health? Is it better? Is it worse? Is it the same? You know, run us through that.
Yeah, I'm definitely in a much better place now than I was. I'm still in therapy, and I think it's important to like still vocalize, like talk to somebody who's just like impartial, who's not part of my situation, about like things I'm going through and how I'm feeling. And yeah, it's super helpful. I like her a lot. But I'm way happier now than I was a year ago. And I think it's just like I've learned a lot of coping strategies. I've discovered more things I could do. I've gotten closer with a lot of friends and a lot of relationships. So definitely doing better now than I was the last time we spoke.
Yeah, I even remember like your whole demeanor is different too. You are a lot more positive. Not that you weren't positive the last time we met, but it definitely jumps off you a lot more. I think it's a lot more visible in you too. And last time we met, was it a year after the accident when we recorded, or was that like a few? Yeah, it had to be roughly a year after. Yeah, it was. I think it was actually, because I think we recorded in like March or April. Your accident was in March, yeah. Right? Yeah, so I think it was about a year after. And from what I remember, you said, you know, you were trying to be positive, but you had a really hard time doing it. Your mental health wasn't in a great spot. And, you know, like I said, like it was a lot harder to be positive. And now it's so amazing to see the growth that you've had, you know, and I imagine you see it and everybody around you sees it, but you're so much more positive. You seem so much happier. From what you just said, your mental health's in a better spot. So everything seems like it's getting better, which is amazing. You know, and you would say the same?
Yeah, definitely. Things have definitely gotten better. And I hope that like people listening, if they're going through something hard, it's like things change, things get better. You never know what's going to happen. So yeah, if anyone is going through something that's really difficult, like it's not necessarily permanent the way you're feeling. Maybe that situation's permanent, but like the way you're feeling's not. The way you look at it doesn't have to be how it is in that moment.
Exactly. And that's so important for you guys who are listening to understand, you know, nothing's permanent. So you have to really appreciate the things that you do have. Look at the positive side. And, you know, from what it sounds like to me is you just completely changed your mindset, right? Like, instead of looking at things negatively, you kind of changed it to a positive mindset.
Yeah, I'm definitely more positive now. Like I said, I have just more tools to deal with things that I'm going through.
Yeah, definitely. And what would you say to someone out there who does have a disability, who's kind of, you know, in that place where they don't feel themselves, they don't feel that confidence, they're not happy? What would you say to them?
If you have a disability, there's probably a lot of things that you can't do, but you have to focus on things you can do and like find what makes you happy and really run with it. Like I like to read. That's something I could do. So I'm at a book club. I read books with my friends all the time. Like it's something that really brings me a lot of joy. I figured out I could paint, so I paint a lot and made an Instagram, made an Etsy. It's not just something I do once in a while. Like the limited things you can do, do them and do them a lot until we find like what really makes you happy.
Yeah, exactly. So that's awesome advice. And I am going to be linking everything in the podcast description, the YouTube, everything. So if you guys do want to check out her store or all of her socials, I'm going to link everything for you guys. So make sure you do check them out. get something because her art is amazing. I don't know if you guys have seen it or if you haven't seen it, but it is actually so cool. And I really suggest you guys pick something up. It helps her out, you know, and it's really important. So is there anything you want to add to that? Is there anything else you would like to say before we finish the episode?
No, I think we really covered a lot, and it's just crazy to see what we talked about last time from this time. Like, I feel like there's such more of a positive vibe.
1,000%. And, you know, I really do feel, even when I walked in today and when I first saw you, you had a smile on, you know, and it was like, we probably haven't seen each other in what, like 6 months, 8 months, you know, yeah. And we always keep in touch. You know, I think we keep in touch. So it's like, I like to make sure, you know, we check in on each other, whatever. But when I walked in today, you just had such a big smile on, such a positive vibe. And, you know, it really does brighten her room. It really, really does. You put a smile on everybody else's faces. And like I said, for you to be so positive, so happy, you guys out there who are listening, you really need to realize anybody can be happy. You have to find those things in life. Like she said, you have to run with what makes you happy. Do it. I do things in my life that make me happy. I go golfing, right? That's something that makes me happy. I spend time with my family. I like watching TV. I like spending time with my girlfriend. Whatever it is, it's like, do the things that make you happy. You have to find that happiness in your life. It doesn't need to be with other people. It could be by yourself. But do what makes you happy, and it can really change your life. Like, even you, like I said, your whole mindset seems different. You have a whole different approach to life. Would you say you have, you know, even to yourself last year, what would you say to yourself a year ago?
I would say same thing I would say to myself in the hospital. Like, it gets better. It will get better. And like, you'll find ways to deal with the hardships that come. And it's not always going to be easy, but like, things are going to get better and you're going to figure it out.
Definitely. Thank you so much for coming on. I really, really appreciate it. We have yet again another amazing episode with you. And we were also talking, we're probably going to do another episode in the near future. We're going to be talking about our businesses. So like I've mentioned today, Rebecca has her own business. And we're going to kind of get into that in a future episode and really dive into what it's like running a business and things along the lines of that. I really, really appreciate you coming on. You are amazing. You seriously blow my mind. And I have nothing but kind words to say about you, brag about you. Is there anything else you wanna close out with?
Well, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. And thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to check out Dark Angel Company on Instagram at Dark Angel Co. and online at darkangelco.com. If you're interested in supporting and spreading awareness towards bringing light to a dark topic together, then tune in next time.